Coming up on TMS PM. Oh, look who's back.
What will Oscar do for you?
Gotta get some dank Jeff Sesh.
Your condoms are too small.
Oh, that explains it. There's a Japan.
What?
Sorry. There. There. There's a Jason in the lake.
Frozen with nudity.
App time.
Your Twitter questions and more on this episode of TMS PM.
This is the morning stream, but it's not in the morning, it's at night.
TMS PM.
Welcome back to TMS. It is the PM edition of the show, and man, am I excited. After a week's absence, a week and a day.
A week and a day, that's right.
Freaking Brian came back from Orlando, covered in Mickey and Minnie. What's going on there, buddy boy?
Oh, just covered, smothered in Mickey and Minnie. Yeah, it's good to be back. It was a good vacation.
Yeah?
Can't say it was all vacation. You know, sometimes freelance stuff still has to happen, unfortunately, and a previous commitment. You know what? I'm just going to talk about that previous commitment thing.
Oh, the game thing. How'd that go? I was going to ask about that.
Well, you know what? For me, it went well.
Oh,
but
all right.
It's a whole different world. That world of Hearthstone streamers like Kriparian and Disguised Toast.
Sure.
There's, you know, some more connective tissue with the Angry Chicken guys. And big thanks, by the way, to Dunaway and Garrett Weinzerpel for filling in for me while I was gone. I haven't listened yet to the Garrett show, but I've been listening to the Brian show, and he rocks it as he always does.
Yeah, handled it amply or amply handled. Anyway, continue. That's not a word. I'm making words up. Go ahead.
But Sunday night, I had to do a streamer showdown. So it's this this thing that Chanman V puts together, where you've got a competition between streamers,
yep.
Different Hearthstone and League of Legends streamers, popular streamers. He got tapped to do a Thor one by Marvel, and reached out to Garrett Weinzerl and said, "Hey, do you know anybody who does game shows and maybe knows Marvel superheroes?" And Garrett said, "I might know a dude,"
yeah,
and hooked him up with me, and I did it. But boy, man, it was a lot of new stuff for them because they'd never done a sponsored show before. They had never done a two-person streamer showdown before. And so there was all this new technology. They had videos, a new round of video questions where they showed a video and asked a question. And because of this, there were a lot of technical hurdles to overcome.
Sure.
And even with a week and a half of rehearsals and practice and stuff like that, there were still actually some technical issues that came up during the stream. Now,
you're saying this in the nicest way possible, by the way. This is my favorite thing about you. I know you're not hiding any shade because you have no shade to throw, but right, I can just sort of hear, you know, there's despite the fact that we were able to put in the thing, we were still, you know, there's always going to be, it's fine.
Yes.
But I can, the underlying subtext is shit got broke, is what it sounds like.
Well, dude, I would even throw credence to that, you know, nicest guy in podcasting thing here even further, because the audio that I hear, of course, what the contestants are doing, and I hear the audio of the game show itself.
Yeah.
But I also hear audio that the players and the stream viewers don't hear. I hear the producers talking in my ear.
Right.
And so that's a new thing that I'm so not used to, because when somebody talks to me, I acknowledge it and I respond. Well, you're not supposed to do that when it's like a producer in your ear saying, ask him about, you know, we need to stretch for time. Ask him about this. So I'll be talking. I'll say, all right, we're going to get to the next question here in just a moment. And then I'll say, hey, ask him about such and such to kind of like stretch for time. And out of nowhere, seemingly to the players and listeners, I'll go, oh, okay.
No, this is like the news guys with a little thing in their ear, and they're being told things all the time, and it would be like them stopping and going, yeah, I know, yeah, uh-huh.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly, and I even did that, like, you know, there was one that was like, yeah, I'm about to, or something like that, where I knew I was going to do it, and then they'd say, no, don't respond to us. Okay. I just can't not do it. It's like it's ingrained in my head that when somebody says something, you respond and you acknowledge it. I just can't do it.
Oh man, that is hard though, right? Like yeah, if you're not used to it, they did this at where was I? Oh, the BlizzCon couch did this.
Oh right.
Where
right.
And I for some reason I pulled that off, and I don't know how, because people were saying things like, you know, turn your head a little bit, or you know, they were like just kind of little adjustment things.
Oh wow.
And I would hear those in real time while I was talking, and I somehow avoided saying to them, yes, what? Hello? Who's it? Where? Like what you don't want to do, and I remember being terrified of it. I don't want to be that like lady you know, in a news story that just there's voices. I hear voices in here. You know what I mean?
Right. Like, well, you also don't want to. You've got to keep the flow of things going too. So you don't want to pause to listen to what they're saying and do the thing, because to the outside world, it's going to look like you're deer in headlights for a split second. So you've got to keep talking, process what they're saying, not respond to what they're saying, and do what they're saying, all with zero interruption, flow, nothing. Like you've got to keep it going.
Yeah, it's hard. Totally hard. I get it.
And Kriparian seems like a really, really nice guy, but yeah. I don't think he wanted to be there at all. I don't think he wanted to have anything to do with that thing.
Yeah.
Disguised Toast, I think, got a lot more into it and had a lot more fun with it. But man, Krip.
Let me tell you what I know, or not know. Here's what I believe about really popular streamers.
Sure.
They are really, really let's see. There's a few things about them. They're young. Okay.
Yeah.
Don't have a lot of patience. They're used to playing video games all day.
Sure.
They're used to kind of controlling that themselves. Their schedule is theirs. They don't have anybody telling them what to do. They make gobs of money for playing a video game. That's their job. Secondly, I just don't think they have a smidge of patience. They're all I gotta go. Like, it's just kind of like they're like squirrels and they see a nut and they gotta go.
I think there's a lot to that. There's absolutely a lot to that.
Yeah. But so that doesn't surprise me. But I would have liked to have seen this, dang it. Now I want to, because I want to hear you going. I want to hear you talking to the ghost.
Well,
man.
You can find it. I urge you to, you know, it's on YouTube. Just look for Streamer Showdown or go to, if you really want to have some fun, go watch the stream on Krip's VOD channel on Twitch, because he shared it there. I gave up watching that after the, you know, third or fourth comment about who the F is this and how is that giant egg talking? Like, I was like, okay, I'm done.
They called you a giant egg?
A giant egg, yes. Psh. How is that giant egg talking?
Yeah.
Oh, come on. I know I'm bald. I mean, you know, do you think this is new to me? I mean, do you think, have I not heard it all before?
Twitch, they're always in dick mode. They just can't help it.
They really can't help it. The and man, the recording surroundings. This was in our Airbnb in Orlando, and gorgeous house, really, really nice house. The only place that I could do that recording and not keep the whole family up, because again, it was at 11 o'clock at night until 1 in the morning on Sunday night. The only place I could do it was in this kitchen living area or kitchen dining room area. Unfortunately, it's echoey as crap. And to kind of top it all off, I think they had my microphone a little bit low. I don't have this mic. Didn't have this microphone with me, and I love the way I sound on this microphone. But I had a little SM58 and a little Behringer USB mixer.
Yeah,
could have been a lot better, but
yeah, but look at you doing the thing. You gotta get the job done. You did what you said you'd do on a vacation. Like, I'm impressed.
Exactly. I could have gotten some rest and been more prepared for Monday at Universal Studios. Not Universal Studios. Oh, there we go. Ikor found it, put a link in the chat there. Universal Studios was Monday. We go there, right? I'm switching gears and going right into the Orlando stories.
Sure, why not?
Now, this trip was with Tina's side of the family. So Tina's parents, her brother from Kansas City, and her brother's two children, Emma and Evan, 9 and 10, something like 8 and 10 or something like that. I mean, they're young. This was like the perfect trip for them. Tristan, of course, went as well.
Yeah.
And totally all taken care of by Tina's parents. Like, they took care of everything, the hotel, the airfare, and all the tickets for the amusement parks, which blew my mind because, I mean, that's like, you know, when you add up all of those tickets, I don't know when the last time you've been to an amusement park, Scott. I know you went to Disneyland last year.
Yeah.
I mean, it's $100 and some odd to get in the dang place.
No, that's super expensive. Yeah.
And then all the other things you get on top of that. It's a, you know, it's a pricey endeavor.
Sure.
But Tina's brother, very different person than me.
All right. That's a very political thing to say. I like it.
Yes. You know, he and I come from different backgrounds. He's a work with your hands kind of guy. I'm a work with computers kind of guy. He doesn't understand the whole streamer, podcasting, video game playing kind of lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'd have a hard time understanding what a Hemi engine is or how to raise the bump stock on a AR-17 or something like that. I mean, sure. I'd, you know,
right.
Two different worlds, basically.
Right.
And you might even be able to guess from that little bit of information kind of another big difference that he and I may have.
Yeah, you might have some other, you know, political leanings that are different, sure.
Sure, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, Tina's brother Scott comes from the kind of the upraising where you're always prepared, you've always got what you need, you've always got a pocket knife in your pants to, you know, just in case you need to get yourself out of a beaver trap or stab a bear in the Revenant or something like that.
Right.
And so we get to the front of Universal Studios and get to the parking area and go from the parking area down like these five ramps of conveyor belts, these long hallways to actually get to the theme park entrance itself. And before you even can give your tickets over, you've got to go through a metal detector. I mean, you go through this thing even before you get into the shopping and dining area that's ahead of Universal Studios. It's like downtown Disney kind of thing where you go through this big area first and then the amusement parks are at the end of that area.
Mm. All right.
And we're sitting there getting our, you know, taking our phones and wallets out and stuff for the
scanner deal.
The scanner deal. And the woman sees my Pokemon Go Plus, that little button thing that you push to catch or to spin the wheel, right? It's like this little, I've got it actually 3D printed into a ring that I can wear.
Right.
And you just hit the button anytime it buzzes if it's a Pokemon you've already got, or it flashes yellow if it's one you don't have so that you can catch it. It's kind of a cool thing if you play that game.
Yeah, I was going to say, she's either worried that it's like a bomb detonator,
right,
or
right.
She's worried that you're a nerd and she wants to know, like, you shouldn't go in there if you're going to
exactly.
wear that.
Yeah. Well, Tina's brother sees that and actually first the woman says, "What's that?" And I said, "Oh, it's like it's a video game device that like attaches to my phone and lets me know when there's a thing, this video game that I'm playing." She's like, "Oh, Pokemon?" I'm like, Yeah, it's a Pokemon Go Plus." She's like, "Oh, cool." Well, Scott's on the other side of the table dealing with his phone and wallet and stuff. And and he goes, "Yeah, those stupid video games. I don't know what the heck that's for. Jeez, nerds." Right? And then she looks over at him and says, "Sir, you can't bring that pocket knife in here. You can't even, like, you're taking that out to put in the bin to go through the scanner. You're not even going to go through the scanner until you do something with that pocket knife."
Yeah, they're not allowed in a, yeah.
Not allowed in a theme park.
Not even close, yeah.
So he's like, I'm kind of thinking to myself, wow, karma worked pretty instantly there.
Yeah, did you... You didn't say anything, obviously. But
No.
Yeah.
Kept it cool. I might have joked about it later on, but
did he fight the deal, or did he say?
Oh no, he like, okay, and so he had to get the keys to our rental tactical vehicle, our tactical van back, because heaven forbid we all go in multiple vehicles. We had to get one vehicle that hold all eight of us.
Yeah.
So it's the the tactical van.
Yeah.
So he has to then. Have one of us go through, get the keys from Tina's dad, bring them back through so he can go and get and take his pocket watch and take it back to the van.
Right.
So he runs and does that, finally gets back. We wait for him for like 10 minutes, finally gets back. We go in and blah, blah, blah. And I keep my, you know, I bite my cheeks and not make any jokes about it.
Sure.
Have a great day at the park. We come back. Next day is Magic Kingdom, Disneyland.
Yeah.
And again, we park the tactical van in the parking lot there, get on the little tram to get to the front and all that stuff. And this with Magic Kingdom, you've even got to take a monorail from the parking area before you can get to the park, the front right. of the park. Oh, but you go through the metal detector. I'm throwing something in there. You get to the metal detector before the monorail.
Oh, we had the opposite at Disneyland. You had a... Oh, no, yes. You're right. Before you get on the monorail, you do have... Yes, that is correct.
Yeah, well, Disneyland, you don't even have to get on the monorail unless you're... Oh, I guess you do, because you go through... you enter in the park through Downtown Disney if you want.
Yeah, we had to because of the parking situation that day, so we had to go kind of the long way. You went and had to park. Plus, we were parking that really expensive convertible sports car. So we had to go park that thing. Right. And then we had to get on the monorail, and we had to do that whole jibber-jab. I hated it. It sucked.
Oh, man.
Anyway.
Well, so... you could probably guess where I'm going with this. Go to the metal detector. I go through. Scott's behind all of us. And he has to yell, "Hey, Brian, could you get Grandpa's keys or get Dad's keys from me again?"
Why is he bringing it? Why did he bring it?
I don't know. So he gets through finally again, you know, a few minutes later. And I say, "So when you're putting stuff in your pockets in the morning, like you're saying, okay, what am I taking to Disney World? Is there a little checklist where you say..." Again, this is after 4 days of being with this with the family, so I think I did finally realize my breaking point.
Yeah,
I said, "So you're putting these things in your pocket?" You say, "Oh, cell phone." "Yep, I'm definitely gonna need a cell phone. Put that in your pocket." "Wallet." "Yeah, oh yeah, gotta buy stuff at Disneyland. Gotta put that in my pocket." Mm-hmm. "Pocket knife." "Well, Baloo Bear might break out of the Country Bear Jamboree and try and attack me. Maybe I better take my pocket knife."
Now, those Hall of Presidents robots aren't going to just sit there.
Yeah, exactly. There is a new Trump robot in the Hall of Presidents. He could go crazy and say, "I'm going to turn this place into a whole disaster. Total disaster.
Total disaster. This entire
total
park.
Total disaster.
It's going to be a total disaster." Beep,
obviously,
boop, beep.
Left that part out. But
yeah. That's really funny. I don't know why you'd bring it twice. That's crazy to me.
I don't know why you would. Apparently, he actually, the first 2 days, because Universal Studios was our third... theme park day. We'd already gone to Animal Kingdom. We'd already gone to Islands of Adventure. Islands of Adventure, man. I swear to God, the Hulk roller coaster at Islands of Adventure is the best roller coaster in the world. I've said it.
Wow.
Nobody can argue with it.
Throwing down some beef there. Okay.
That ride is amazing. It is it's the smoothest roller coaster you'll ever go on. Mm. It still has a lot of surprises. For a roller coaster, you think, "All right, well, I know what a roller coaster does." This one has surprises. So
is it one of those sit and hang ones, or is it a what
kind
of?
No, it's a traditional sit on the rails.
Yeah.
A double rail. Yeah.
And it's Hulk themed. The whole thing's.
And it's Hulk themed. So okay. You go through the whole line area. It goes through Banner's. Science lab, and so you see the gamma radiation device that turned him into the Hulk originally, even though that's not kind of the actual origin story. But his DNA and like a whole bunch of monitors on the side made by SHIELD to kind of like keep him in check and stuff like that. It's a really, really cool.
Sounds awesome. I have a theory about your. I think your brother-in-law is it brother-in-law? Yeah, brother-in-law is packing this knife because he doesn't know if he's ever going to need to shank a jihadist or something.
Might be a guy.
Yeah.
Might be a guy.
I don't like that kind of thinking. Well, whatever. It's my judgments aside.
Were quite a few comments under his breath, kind of comments about. Man, I've never been around so many foreigners in my life, or you know.
Yeah, in so many words. Sure.
In so many words.
Yeah, yeah. I know the time. Listen, I got a brother-in-law who I do the same
with
thing.
That in Kansas
sure.
City, I guess.
Yeah, I get it. I see where you're coming from. But sounds like outside of that, no, you know, no incident with the knife. And like
no,
you didn't pull
no,
it on
none
anybody.
At all. No, you never had to use the thing, goodness. Yeah. By the way, Animal Kingdom, I got to throw a big thank you out to a listener named Mark. Works there and gave us a lot of background information, took us through the whole brand new Pandora area for Avatar, got us pointed in the right direction for the new Avatar ride, which is incredible. Mm. Might be, you know, if Hulk is the best roller coaster out there, I'm going to go out on a limb and say the Avatar ride, I'm trying to remember what it's actually called, is the best virtual ride I've ever been on. And it's hard to call it a virtual ride because it still has a lot of a lot of movement. A lot of movement, a lot of practical effects, not just visual effects.
But really, it's like Star Tours, though, right? In the sense that it's mostly an enclosed virtual ride.
Like, sort of. It's not like sitting in a box with 25 other people kind of ride. It's more of a... Have you done California Adventure and Soarin'? That Soarin' over the USA or whatever it's called?
Not this last trip. It's been a while. I can't remember if I did it last time. I think so.
Where you're kind of sitting in a hanging deal like you're on a hang glider and you're going over all these
areas. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I did do that. Yeah.
Yes. This is a lot like that. You're riding a banshee through Pandora. You're actually sitting on a banshee. You feel its heart beating on its body between your knees.
Ew.
And I was trying to figure out a way to make that sound.
That's a weird thing that they put in there.
Gives you the whole feeling like you're on the back of one of these things and you're flying through Pandora. It's incredible, absolutely incredible.
Do you see any unobtainium while you're there?
You see some unobtainium. You see I don't know if you really do, but you you do see some glowing stuff in the rocks, so I'm assuming that's unobtainium.
Yeah, it's unobtainable. We know that. You can't bring any home with you. Sure,
hard to getium.
Yeah,
yeah.
Can't touch it. Idiom.
What else? Let's see. Oh, I had some observations about Disneyland, and this is about Disney World proper, the Magic Kingdom proper, because that's the only place where we stayed really late at the park to kind of see the shows that they put on. For the most part, we left the parks around dinner time, went out, had dinner offsite, and then did something else because the kids were getting kind of tired and stuff like that. But we said, let's do one day where we kind of stay the whole day.
Yeah.
So Magic Kingdom was our day because that is all rides. It's like every possible ride you can imagine. But here's the thing, and I don't know if it's the case with all of the Disney parks, but once the sun goes down, it turns into kind of mayhem. Like, you know, the people who are kind of pushing their strollers and kind of looking around during the day and like, oh my gosh, so cool. Look at that, how they really make it look like there's a castle right there. And oh, how about the Peter Pan ride? Let's do that. The sun goes down and it turns into post-apocalyptic future with every man for themselves. Wow. Like, I've got to get somewhere where I can watch the castle fireworks show. And they're pushing their stroller, using it as a battering ram to get around people. Children are literally screaming their heads off for no apparent reason, running down the
I had this feeling at Disneyland last time when it went dark. I had the same exact thing. I didn't think much of it because I just thought, oh well, we're getting out of here. So we were leaving as that was going on.
Yeah,
but it's bad.
Like, it is bad, and weird. I can't explain it. I don't know what it is that turns them, because there's still lights on the rides. It's not
I'll bet an employee there could tell us. Maybe Gary
from Lantronics might be able to throw some light on that. It just, like, everyone turns manic as soon as the sun goes down.
Yeah, what is that about? That's got to be the people that are so obsessed with, you know, they go to Disneyland like 6 times a year. It's the only place they ever go. Like, those people, they stay till forever, and it's them who are vying for a position to be as close to... you know, lit up Woody as possible when he walks by in the parade.
I think so. Yeah. I think it's the whole day. People are like, oh, waiting in line for this, waiting in line for that. Oh, got to go get a fast pass. Oh, when's this thing doing? Oh man, we missed that. All right, let's go get, oh my gosh, it's going to take 20 minutes to get a frozen banana covered with nuts, blah, blah, blah. And then at the end of the day, they just like, I just want to have something go right. So dang it, my kids are going to be in the front row for the Main Street Electrical Parade.
Yeah, I don't know why that is, but I experienced similar things. And you guys hung around for the whole thing, which is probably even worse.
Almost. We didn't hang around. There's 3 nightly shows. There's a big fireworks show and a little bit of a light show on the castle first. And then about an hour later, there's a projection onto the whole front of the castle that makes it look like it's on fire or made of crystal and it's collapsing and stuff like that. Amazing projection work. And then the third one is I think it might be the actual Main Street Electrical Parade, but we got out of there before that.
Was it humid the whole time?
It was humid the whole time. Yeah. We were kind of in a little bit of a heat wave. They said this is kind of the hottest week so far this year in Florida, upper 80s, and an upper, like, 87 in Orlando is like, I think, about 125 in Colorado, the equivalent.
Yeah, that humidity.
Buckets of water in the air.
Tear you a new hole.
Here's one more observation. From other countries, especially Japan, people who come to Disney World from other countries and dress alike.
Yeah.
especially, like I say, from Japan, we notice this even in Japan, that it's like you wear your kind of fancy clothes and you dress alike, and it's really cute and kind of funny and that sort of thing. When Americans dress alike, it's really just to say that it's somebody's getting married or it's somebody's birthday.
Yeah, or sometimes it's a family reunion, you're all wearing the same
family
damn t-shirt.
Exactly, yeah. Yes. Yeah. The Jones Family Trip 2018.
I hate that. Tina, not a
fan. Tina and I kind of broke down and actually got a matching outfit. Our first ever matching outfit for anything.
Whoa, and it's not one of those where it says, I'm with her, or he's with stupid, or anything weird like that. It's like a...
Kind of is.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, my t-shirt says... just another sexy bald guy.
Yeah.
And her shirt says, I'm with the sexy bald guy.
Oh, very nice. So they're custom made then, or were they?
No, they're not. Those apparently, I didn't know what these came for. I saw them in the Universal Studios store, or actually I should say, Tristan and Evan found them in the Universal Studios store and then ran them over to wherever I was saying, you've got to get this.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh man, I've totally got to get this. Apparently it's for Shrek. Apparently it's a Shrek thing.
Oh, all right. I get it. The Universal, so, Shrek, all that, yeah.
Exactly. So I'll wear it for the show at some point.
You should wear it in. Is she coming going to Vegas with you? Is she planning?
Yeah. I don't know if we're gonna wear matching outfits in Vegas. We'll see.
Maybe. Do it. This is it. This is your chance. I want to see this happen. Yeah. Well, all right. Well, I'm glad you're home, and it'll be fun next week too, because stuff will come back to you. You'll be like,
there'll be a lot more stuff I'll talk about.
Yeah, I love weird stories from America's wiener. thanks again to Dunaway and Weinzerpel for sitting in for us. We appreciate
it. For
sure. I was looking at this video, the Streamer Showdown, and my favorite part of it is, well, A, you can tell Kriparian's like, I'd really just rather be not
doing anything else. Just playing. I just want to be doing some dungeon run or, you know, seeing if I can get above rank number one in Hearthstone.
Yeah, see if I can get the next rank one. I want to get platinum before the season even starts. That's the face he's got.
Right.
You have the face of, the lights in this room are so harsh on my, you're squinting almost because these lights are so harsh.
I couldn't turn them down. There was no off or on. Off or 100% with the only choices I had.
But Disguised Toast, he looks stoked. He's, getting
it. He seemed to have just such a great time. He had a blast. And I think Crip even kind of had a blast. I got him laughing a couple times. And, it's a lot easier doing the All-Stars thing when I know the contestants well. And I know your foibles. I know your Achilles heels that I can kind of poke at and get you guys to crack up and stuff.
Well, plus Chan Man runs a tight ship, so he's super detail oriented.
He absolutely is. Yeah,
and that'll make for a little more intensity. Like, the whole thing's pretty interesting. I'm gonna play just some little audio and see what we get.
Luffy.
Okay. You can hear my echoey
ish.
It is, absolutely, yes. King Luffy, the king of the dark elves, and
I love it, dude.
Yeah, you played the one mistake I made too. King Luffy is the king of the frost giants, not the dark elves. the one thing you could have played. I corrected myself a second later, but you play the.
This just happened to be right there. Oh, that's really funny to me. Well,
the dang echo and stuff.
I'm glad that you had fun. That's the important thing. Brian had fun.
I never made any connection, by the way. I think I saved my reputation because I never mentioned Coverville. Only because I forgot, didn't mention TMS. Like, I really honestly forgot to say, hey, follow me, blah, blah, blah. I talked about where you follow Toast and Crip. And of course, Streamer Showdown never once explained where I come from and what my deal is. And I think maybe that's the only thing that's keeping my reputation intact.
You didn't tell people who you were and where to find you.
No, it says my name underneath it. They can Google. They'll find me. Just Google.
They just look it up. It'll be fine.
Hall of Famer Brian Ibbett. That's what I am.
That's right, everybody. Well, on that note, I think we'll have a little fun with this here deal right here. Hold on.
You got one more thing.
Yeah. Oscars tomorrow.
And we can do this really quick. Sunday.
So we're having a bit of a thing for that. Kim's making some weird pho food.
Wow.
Yep. And Taylor and Dylan are coming over. The dogs will all be here. And we're going to watch, we're going to see how them Oscars go. And I'll tell you what, I don't have any further predictions, but I do want to say this. I want to see if any of yours have shifted since you've sort of seen everything.
Yeah.
But I wanted to at least put this out there. The number one thing I'm not looking forward to
Yeah.
Is the elephant in the room of everything.
Right.
Of the like, oh, Seacrest being accused of harassment out here on the red carpet. I can't think of anything but that while he's talking to people and trying to smile. And then somebody put a gold statue of freaking Weinstein in a robe on a casting couch that's like big heavy metal thing that's out there somewhere. I don't know where it is or if it'll make it on the broadcast or not. But then everybody who's going to go up and accept a thing, it's going to be like, I want to accept this for all the others who took it in the pooper while they were trying to get a job. Like, I am not looking forward to that part of it. Now, it doesn't mean I don't think that. In fact, I think that's part of my problem is I think it is really important and they have to still do this show. Imagine we had to do a TMS the morning after you and I were both convicted of setting a 7-Eleven on fire and running through the city naked. And we had to pretend like we never did it or have no idea what's going on.
Right.
The whole idea just gives me gas. So whatever. It'll be fine. I'm sure I'll enjoy it. Actually, who am I kidding? I don't like award shows. I'm not going to enjoy it. I'm going to enjoy seeing movies I like win and certain people I like win. And that's about it.
Exactly. And you'll probably like a few of the after things, like, the recaps or the jokes that Kimmel makes about the non Time's Up movement stuff. Like, there's going to be jokes. I'm almost writing them actually now myself about the Moonlight and La La Land debacle from last year.
Yeah, that's good. Oh my gosh, I forgot all about that.
We're going to get at least, a couple mentions of that in the monologue and stuff. It would be funny if he just says, all right, here's the thing. I'm just going to get these out right now. Time's Up and Moonlight and La La Land. All right, now we've moved off of those. Now you can go back to thanking the little people.
It's just such a self-important bunch of people who are going to force things in my face, and I'm just not in the mood for them. But I'm in the mood for hanging out with the family and having fun.
That's the part that's going to make it good. We always have a couple friends of ours over for the Oscars and do the same thing. I have little Oscar prediction ballots. Everybody fills out. The winner gets a soundtrack. I'll go buy the soundtrack to one of the movies from this year.
Yeah.
I don't know which one. But,
yeah, which, I was going to say if you knew which one you were going to do. I have something to tell you about.
Probably Showman I would probably get. Even though it's not a Best Picture nominee, that's got to be the best soundtrack of the year.
I hear that one's good, yeah. I have a thought about a soundtrack that I would like to share with you before we do the news.
I bet I could guess which soundtrack, which score you enjoyed tremendously, and it probably was a movie that had Gosling and Harrison Ford. But
that one I did love. That was a great soundtrack. Yeah. But no, it's actually not even related. I was watching Tom and I did an autopilot version of Current Geek. And we watched the Lost pilot, the two-part Lost pilot.
Oh, right, yeah.
Which you're a fan of. You've seen Lost multiple times.
One of my favorite shows of all time. Was fine with the ending. Maybe I didn't love the ending. I stopped myself short from saying love the ending. But I liked the ending. It was okay.
Sure.
But
hard ending to do.
Yeah, hard, exactly. They introduced too many mysteries that they couldn't tie up in one thing without.
There was no way to do it. I mean, the polar bear was still a problem for me halfway through that show. But
that was episode one, wasn't it?
That was the first episode. Yeah, it was in the pilot. Yeah. But I had forgotten, and it's dumb to forget this because Giacchino is just like a genius. But his music, really specifically Lost, is way ahead of its time music wise. Way ahead of its time. And I don't just mean the weird bonk thing they always do.
Right.
I don't mean that. I mean like the music. The interstitial stuff, like beautiful, gorgeous. There's a reason he's like in huge demand now for film scoring and stuff. It's amazing soundtrack. But that's not up for an Oscar. So I'll have to settle for the lady doing it with a fish. All right.
He did the score for that. Is that right?
I don't know. Did he?
Alexandra Desplat. Desplat.
Desplat. That's a great name.
Probably
isn't
not
it?
The rest, right way to pronounce it. Right way to pronounce
French
that.
For the splat. I like it.
That's right. So I still have not seen Phantom Thread. So my top two favorites are still Lady Bird and Three Billboards. And I'm going to say Three Billboards would be my favorite of the movies.
Still your top pick. Okay.
Still my top. I expect the winner is going to be Shape of Water, maybe The Post.
Okay.
But I think Shape of Water does all the things that, boy.
That's funny because I keep hearing from every corner that there's no way The Post wins. It's just like this. It's just, it's a good movie. There's nothing wrong with The Post. It's just,
yeah.
It's just, it's Spielberg. It's an important movie. It's timely. So you got to have it nominated.
It's Spielberg-y, basically.
Yeah. Or that you just, I mean, it's just a courtesy nomination. Like, he's not going to, he's not intended to win it. That's what I keep hearing. Everybody seems to think Lady Doing It with a Fish is number one. And the other, Three Billboards is the other deal.
Oh, like, good. Okay. Yeah. Well, I hope Three Billboards gets it.
Yeah.
I did see, and boy, I'm making a early recommendal for something to make sure you pick up before the Oscars happen. Just released in the last couple days on the iTunes Movie Store and Amazon are the Shorts TV collections of almost all of the animated and live action shorts. It's all the live action shorts, and it's three of the five animated shorts.
And a load of the movies too, right? Like I can see Lady Bird on Amazon.
Yeah,
right
you
now.
Can get. Yeah, but that's not what I'm talking about.
I know that. But what my point is, like, I think almost everything that's nominated is now viewable.
Yeah, just about, except for Phantom Thread. Like, yeah. You can watch Dunkirk, Darkest Hour, Lady Bird, Three Billboards.
Yeah.
I don't know about Call Me by Your Name or Shape of Water, if those are watchable yet, but. Anyway, but for $10.99, I strongly urge you to go pick up the combination. It's a total. It's eight short films, three animated and five live action. like I said, for $11, you can pick it up and own it. There's no way to rent it, sadly.
Yeah, they're all buy. I noticed that too. All that
you buy the whole package, and it's $11 for the total for all eight of them. Yeah. Dear Basketball is okay, but holy crap, Garden Party! I feel like Garden Party needs to win the animated short film. It is brilliant, absolutely brilliantly done.
All right, is it British? It sounds British.
It might be the. Just the Oscars website doesn't list where it comes from.
The term yard, not yard, the term garden is such a commonly
garden
used
garden party.
Yeah, meet us in the garden, which is always just my backyard. If you're in America, we're having a backyard barbecue. If you're in Britain, we're having a lovely garden party.
And, and then as far as short film live action, you get all five of them. And again... Boy, there's one called DeKalb Elementary that is, again, brilliant, brilliantly written and acted. Maybe a little bit tapping a sore nerve right now, but it's absolutely brilliant. And then The Silent Child, really, really good. Also kind of heartbreaking. Mm. Man, all five of them are really good.
That's great. Do you always do the short stuff every year? Do you try to?
We try to. Last year we saw them in the theater. Yeah. And hey, we paid a lot more for two tickets and popcorn. $11 to see all the shorts. This year was great. The 11 o'clock is hilarious. I think it's either New Zealand or Australian, and it's a comedy, a little comedy short. But between now and Sunday, or even afterwards, there are a million worse ways to spend $11. And just go Amazon Prime, go Apple iTunes Movies, and pick up the 2018.
That was a really good name for a movie itself. There are a million bad ways to spend $11. I would watch that. Doesn't seem like, who's in that? Cast this movie. Who's in that?
It would be Christopher Walken for sure.
Okay.
He's in there. Bad ways to spend $11. who else? You have...
Who's our young cast? Who's because he's in there as kind of the Godfather-y type, but we got to have...
Right, our up-and-comers.
Yeah.
You'd have, I tell you exactly who you'd have. You have Jason Schwartzman.
All right. Got it.
For sure.
Yep.
You'd have the dude from, Deadpool's buddy.
Oh, I like Deadpool's buddy. Perfect. Good casting.
Yes. The guy from, Silicon Valley.
Yeah.
And then you'd have, you would have Aziz Ansari.
Oh, Aziz Ansari in there.
He'd be in there as well. There you go. There's your cast.
Okay. Wait, who's our girl? We need a girl. We got to have a love interest or a smart, scrappy girl.
Jessica Biel.
Jessica Biel is exactly the name I was hoping you were going to say. We've done it. We've casted the movie. Owen Wilson.
And Owen Wilson is the grizzled sea captain.
Yeah. Wow. That's a bad way to spend $11. Wow.
Wow. Wow. You really took that. You really took those $11 and spent them poorly.
Yeah, what a waste of $11. Wow. All right.
All right.
There you go. Let's rip through the news.
Radio today is different. powerful networks span the nation from coast to coast. Shortwave radio girdles the globe.
Look, it's the evening news brought to you by...
My God, that was almost an hour. The instance was this morning, and it was fun, so you should listen to it.
Yeah, you should. It was good. Patrick and I, Patrick's back on track there. Yay. He's 5 weeks, maybe 5 weeks old. He's finally getting out of his European dad takes time off moment, whatever. That's a thing they do over there. And it was awesome. It was good hanging out with him, so go check it out, theinstance.net. Hey, if you want some sweet rolling papers for your weed...
You put your weed in there.
Pro Weed Legalization Group is selling rolling papers called General Jeff's Old Rebel Session Papers with the eternal Attorney General's face on it, Jeff Sessions.
Love it. Love it.
Some are saying Jeff Sesh for short. It's hard to say, though.
Sesh. Jeff Sesh.
On their website, the pot advocacy group Jeff Sesh sells two types of paper for $5 each. Jeff Sessions' face is displayed on the front of the boxes with a joint photoshopped in his mouth.
Look at that. That's hilarious.
It's pretty good. Hold on. Because he has all come out lately as like, oh, we're getting back to the old ways of stopping the pot from being a problem.
Good people don't smoke marijuana.
For some reason, this isn't working. Hold on a second.
The Office of Sheriff is a critical part.
Okay. I can't even get it. Okay.
We must never erode this historic office.
Okay.
And we have to stop Harry Potter from stealing our gold in Gringotts here.
He is totally that goblin. No, you know what he is. He's
the house elf. Dobby.
What's the cookies you buy? The Keebler elves. He looks like a Keebler elf. That's what he looks like to me.
I've got to go back to making some fudge stripes. I'll see y'all later.
Don't be smoking that pot. Chinese condom makers apparently are making them too small. This according to Zimbabwe's health minister. They're complaining over there. Chinese condom manufacturer says it's considering making its products in different sizes after the Zimbabwe health minister complained the contraceptives made in China and exported to the African nation were too small for their men. There's two stereotypes at play here. Two of them at the same time.
There really are, yes. Yeah. Yes.
I think that's probably good. It's also important that they get them. This South African nation and that part of the region has the highest incidence of HIV. So they want to, you know, they want to promote the use of condoms for the sexual activity there. Right. Youths now have a particular condom that they like, but we don't manufacture them. We'll import condoms from China, and some men complain that they are too tight and small.
Maybe we could export some magnums for them.
Oh, yeah. Hey, listen, let's make America great again. We got some magnums we can send over there. Hey, did you... there was a movie you were going to see because you were in Orlando and that was the only way to see it. Or am I thinking of the Vegas viewing of Black Panther? Do I have it confused? Because you were traveling in the
Boston. I saw Black Panther in Boston, yeah.
That's what it was. In my head, yep. I'm thinking, oh, he didn't see Black Panther until last week. And then I was going to say what you thought. But then my brain went, no, he's told us what he thought. Yeah, and it was after his other trip, one of like three he took in the same month.
Three that I took in February. February was travelary.
Travelocity, you could call it. It wasn't already taken.
That's right.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Vegas, Boston, and Orlando.
My favorite story of the week, someone put a statue of Jason Voorhees in a Minnesota lake for divers.
Oh, my God. Yeah, the video of this thing is creepy as hell.
It's super creepy. So, chat, I'd like you to have a little view here. Look at that. Just look at that still image of it. Ugh. Jason Voorhees in the mask, chains on him, just lurking below the water.
Now, the first photo is the one from the movie.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, the one you're kind of looking up at him with the chain.
I didn't know that. I thought that was the thing. The
show. No, it's the
thing.
Two. It's the two. Well, at least that's how I understood it. I thought that was a still from the movie.
It might be. You're probably right. Here's what's great, though. The statue was planted there in 2013. So it's been there at the bottom of this lake.
For 5 years, yeah.
That's so cool.
I love the fact that somebody had to discover that, right? Like,
Yeah. It's nuts, man. Let's see. It's a total of 120 feet deep in a Minnesota lake, popular with divers. Having been down in the water, the statue developed a worn algae covered appearance that almost makes it seem more lifelike. I would agree.
Yeah.
It says here, the only complaint is that it looks very rigid. Like it's clearly a mannequin or some kind of statue, but that's such a small gripe, says this article.
It's a dumb gripe. I don't know who wrote this from dreadcentral.com. My only complaint is that it looks like it's a mannequin or some sort of statue. Maybe they could have put a real person in a costume down there.
It sounds like a... Oh, there it is. I didn't realize the video was going to do that. Hold on.
The video's got the audio, yeah.
Yeah, here we go. So they're going to show this camera. There it is. Look at this. Oh, my gosh. Jeez. I would die. I would die if I went down there. Yeah. I would die.
Yeah.
I'm looking at this guy. I can't do it. I can't even look at it anymore.
It's creepy, man. TVZ Gone put some other photos, a link to some more photos. Actually, the two same videos, but then one more photo that's a lot creepier. Of this thing. Jeez. Oh, yeah,
that photo. Look at all that crap coming off of it, dude.
I know. It's all floating around and stuff.
That's so gross.
I can't believe they used a mannequin.
Yeah. It would be better if it was a real person, but I guess I'll just accept it for what it is.
What a dumb complaint. I'm sorry, but that's kind of a dumb complaint.
Don't be sorry. It is dumb. It's super dumb.
Yeah.
All right. I think that'll do it for today's news stories. This Frozen one's dumb. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to do some app time. Probably that's it. We'll save your Twitter questions for next week, just for time. But we'll do some app reviews, because why not? I want to hear what Brian's been clicking on his whole time while he was out. Before we do that, though, a proper middle song instead of the crap I've been doing lately. What do you got?
Well, I've got something that was sent in to me from the band Ghostly Beard. Kind of seems appropriate. Patrick Talbot, lead singer of Ghostly Beard, or at least the contact, says... I'm an independent singer-songwriter from Montreal, Canada, under the name Ghostly Beard. I'm releasing a brand new album on May 4th, but the pre-order is going to be available today, March 2nd. You can go and order this thing today. This album is going to be his third release, and it's going to be a combination of classic, soft, and prog rock mixed with Americana and everything in between. This is cool. This is a the first single from the upcoming album. It's a song called The Love in Your Eyes. This is great. I think you're totally going to dig it. Here is Ghostly Beard.
Your absence, and into my heart an empty place. I reach for your light, I couldn't find it. What would I give to see you now? And I had to say goodbye when I knew it would be for the last time. I couldn't see all.
No, it was lovely.
Yeah.
Hey, I like that a lot.
Yeah.
It's really good. Nice pick.
Mellow stuff. Really good mellow stuff.
I like mellow. Mellow is good. Mellow is great.
What I needed today.
Yeah. Exactly. Mellow is what we all need today. If this cold takes like hold of me, I'm going to be pissed because I've avoided it for weeks. My wife, my kids, everybody's been sick as dogs. I've been avoiding it. I've been like washing my hands all the time, just being real careful. And now whatever this is right here. It's just kind of going, just wants to get in there. And F that, I don't want that. So that's why today it's just kind of wake up from a nap. Oh, I'm late for TMSPM. It's okay. I'll just wander in here, do a little show, push this button at my leisure. Oh, there it goes. All right. It's go time.
App slappy.
All right. We haven't done one of these in a while. And I'm excited to do it because why not? Why the hell not?
Yes. Why the hell not?
We take stuff from apps. Sometimes they're on iOS only. Sometimes they're on Android and iOS. Sometimes they're somewhere else, but usually it's on a phone or something to that effect. And today is no different. Sorry, let me pull mine up. Where'd it go? Lost it. Here it is. A game came out I had high anticipation for. In fact, I pre-ordered it. That's now a thing you can do. You can pre-order. Wow. Even if it's a free game, you can just say, hey, when this comes out, just download it. It's an iOS 11 plus thing. I don't know if that's a true thing on Android or not, but that's how it works on Apple stuff. And there was a game a while ago called Alto's Adventure. Do you remember this?
Alto's Adventure.
He was on a snowboard a pair of skis, and it was a big snowy landscape, and it was very pretty.
Right. It's almost like an endless skier, right?
Yes, endless. It isn't one of those kind of endless games, for sure.
Yeah.
It set itself apart by sort of being graphically impressive and really relaxing. They put in an endless mode that just lets you go forever, and it's all randomly generated, so it's never the same run twice. And it's just a nice, chill micro experience that's perfect for phones. Mm-hmm. And I really, really liked that first game. I heard that they were... Now, see if this doesn't sound like it's perfect for me. There's rumors started to come out that, oh, they're working on a sequel. Oh, cool. I wonder what that's going to be like. And then rumors kept flying that, oh, we have a new name. It's called Alto's Odyssey. Ooh, that's evocative of who knows what. And thinking about it a little bit more. And then it came out and they showed video and stuff of the previews and saying, here's what it is. It's the same kind of game, but instead of skiing or snowboarding down slopes of snow, you are skiing or rather snowboarding down slopes of dirt and sand.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So it's like a big, deserty, cool... I'm not going to call it Mad Max-like, but, you know, it's weird that you're... It's more like a journey. It reminds me of Journey a little bit.
Yeah, I'm looking at gameplay video right now. This thing is gorgeous.
It's super cool. I really like it. As you can see, I have it on my phone right here. It's called Alto's Odyssey. I want to say this was $5. I think worth every penny. You got this great soundtrack. Listen to this. Oh, he's just jumping. Oh, I jumped here. Oh, yeah. There's some coins. Oh, coins are good. And the backgrounds are all like canyons, and there's balloons off in the background. And this music's
sun out there.
Music's different than usual. But you can do flips, jump on this. Oh, yeah, I just grind down the wall. Now I'm grinding on another thing. And then I'm falling. Oh, I almost died. Okay, I'm going to do a flip. Nope, I'm dead. Oh, that's too bad. Anyway, I think this game's great and worth every freaking penny. And it's not much more to describe. You're just forever riding on a slope made of sand. You know? Sometimes it rains.
And sounds like it's a good phone game. Doesn't have to be iPad.
No, and you could play it there because this is really just a single tap kind of thing, so you don't need any kind of weird controllers or anything. But it would look good on there. I mean, I think it would probably play fine on there, but I think it's better as a kind of in your pocket kind of thing. Yeah. Like this is what I pull out or will pull out and have pulled out for the old one. Well, I'm doing a lot of pulling out right now. This is the kind of game I love to have at a doctor's office or a dentist's office where I'm waiting to get into somewhere.
Right.
And there's little goals to unlock, and when you unlock those, you get new abilities, and you can spend your little gold. I mean, it's got some progression to it, but really it's just about relaxing. It's called Alto's Odyssey, and if you... I recommend highly wearing headphones. The soundtrack to this thing is incredible. Really good.
Oh, cool. I totally will.
Yeah, really good stuff. So there's mine. What'd you do this week? What'd you have?
Well, I'm going back. So in line, it's funny, in line, other than obviously playing Pokemon Go whenever I had a chance, BB Tan was the game that seemed to pull me back in. And that's an old one that we talked about, but it's a good one to just come back to every once in a while. And we've talked about it on App Slappy before, so I don't want to bring it up again, other than just to say that that is a good go-back-to game if you haven't played it in a while. It's a good one to go back to.
Sure.
This is the one that I played a lot on the plane, and we had, you know, some long flights to do, and when I wasn't watching Altered Carbon, which I'm loving, and waiting for more nudity to, you know, feel uncomfortable about watching on a plane.
Right.
I was playing a game that actually came out way back in 2016. I know I haven't talked about it on App Slappy, but I love this game. Now, this game is even older than that. This is a game that Winston Churchill taught Andrew de Stark, who was a native Belgian during the Nazi occupation of World War II. Churchill taught him the game. De Stark taught Donald Rumsfeld the game when Rumsfeld served as ambassador to NATO during the Nixon administration.
All right.
And the game is called Churchill Solitaire. Now, it's your typical, what you'd kind of expect to be a solitaire game. You've got a couple decks of cards, more than one. You've got two decks of cards, and the object is to get all the cards into the, you know, stacking them up from ace to king. But you've got eight stacks instead of four.
Okay.
And but here's the trick of the game is that as you're building all of those your tableau out, when you don't have any more moves left to make, instead of like flipping through the cards 1 2 3 flip 1 2 3 flip like you do with normal solitaire, it takes the top however many cards and dumps them on top of all the rows and columns you've built up, with some exceptions.
Okay. Interesting.
And kind of buries the work that you've done under a new card, and you've kind of got to move those cards around to kind of get access to the cards underneath. Now, what's really cool about this game is that it's very, very polished. It is a beautifully done game. The graphics, for being a card game, the graphics are gorgeous. There's kind of this...
I love a good polished card game. For real.
This whole meta feel to it. Yeah, but there's this whole, like, you're in the war, you're playing this game with Winston Churchill and stuff like that on his big wooden desk and stuff. There's a campaign because it's possible with a random draw to have a game, to have a set of cards that you can't win, an unwinnable thing.
Right.
So they have a campaign that's got, I think, 150, 500 preset deals that you know you can solve, but the trick is knowing how to solve them. And it keeps track of which ones you've completed with a little check mark and which ones you haven't, so you can go back and say, oh, I've never done number 8. Let's see if I can do number 8 and get that one solved.
Oh, interesting.
It's really cool. So it's a camp. It's a solitaire game with a campaign in it. It's really, really...
Remind me of the name again. What was it again?
Churchill Solitaire.
You know what? I'm here searching for it. I had this.
Yeah.
You're right, it is older.
It
not
is
that
older,
much older, but it's good. It's really good.
It came out in 2016, and I picked it up back then, played it a ton then, and forgot about it. And then when I was on the plane, I was like, oh, what's in this folder? Oh, I forgot about this game. And boy, got into the first game of it and just couldn't stop playing it for the whole rest of the flight. I just loved it.
Wow, that's great.
So, it's available for all platforms. Let me pull that back up because I don't know how much it costs since I've already purchased it.
You bet it, you win it, boy.
Let me see if I can find out how much it costs.
All right.
Right here. Here we go. Available for Android and iOS, and it's free. There's in-app purchases you can get. I think it comes with free like 4 or 5 games, but you buy... you buy sets of these pre-done games, and you get them as a big set. So it's like I said, 150 winnable variations of the game for $1.99 or something
Yeah. I remember liking this. I need to. You know, I think I had it on like an older device, so that's why I haven't seen it in a while. But I remember being a fan. I remember being a pretty good.
Yeah, difficult, very difficult, and.
Well, that's the way he liked it, man. That guy was, you know, he was trouble.
He did, yes. Hard not to hear Gary Oldman playing this game. apparently, I'm saying it like that kid from that old video. Apparently, there might be issues with the iPhone X as far as screen rotation.
Oh.
So pick up the free version, try it out if you've got an iPhone X.
Yeah.
I played on the iPad. I love it on the iPad because you've got big...
It's perfect for that. I like all my car games are better on iPads.
For sure.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Good pick.
So,
take that.
Churchill Solitaire. Totally worth it.
What'd they call him during the war? Oh, the rusty old barrel. The dirty old man. What was it? They had a name.
Iron-fisted Jack Nabbit. No? I honestly don't know.
He had a name. I mean, they had Iron Lady was what's her name, so that's not...
Right, probably, Thatcher.
Yeah.
Right.
So he was the heavy set monstrosity.
The British Bulldog.
The British Bulldog. There it is. I knew it was one of those. I saw a documentary and I should remember these things. All right. Well, that's good.
Sir Winston Leonard Spencer Churchill.
Thank you all.
Oh, my God. He's got a lot of initials after his name. Winston Leonard, Sir Winston Leonard Spencer Churchill, KGOMCHTDPCCDLFRSRA.
What the hell is all that?
Like all of his titles and stuff, I guess.
Oh, all right. Well, he did some stuff.
He did some stuff, for
the
sure.
The double chins from Windershins, says Doug Decoder. That sounds right. Nice. All right, we're going to get out of here. This is it for us. But don't worry. Next week begins a whole new solid week.
Yes.
Of the morning stream. Brian Ibbett is back.
I'll be here.
I'll feel better by Monday. It feels like it's not as bad as what they had. It's just kind of bringing me down. It's bringing me low.
Don't bring me down.
Oop. Patreon.com/TMS is where you can support the show. If you like this episode that we do a week called PM, it's because of that. It's over there at patreon.com/TMS. All your support is loved and appreciated. And some cool new things coming your direction from that. We are working slowly but steadily toward our meetup in April. So that's still coming.
Yes. Now that this trip is over, that's the trip I'm focused on. And
yep.
And thinking about ideas for my tattoo.
Oh, my gosh. You really are going to do this. You're going to get a tattoo.
Really going to do it.
All right. I want to thank everybody for listening. Frogpants.com/TMS is the place to go for all other contact details. Let's get out of here. We'll be back Monday. Brian, let's play more music, though. You got something?
I do. Daniel Halstead wrote in and said, I've grown up listening to Herb Alpert and the Tijuana Brass, but never knew that Spanish Flea had lyrics until watching the Simpsons episode, The Auto Show, where Homer sings it in the car while Bart is attending the Spinal Tap concert. After a little research, I found out that this version is a cover by the Modernaires in which they added the lyrics themselves. As a fun little jaunt for the end of the show, could you please play this version whenever you've got a day free of birthday and anniversary request is fine. Well, as a matter of fact, today is a day free of birthdays and anniversary requests. Now, here's a little background. The Modernaires, the vocal group that kind of predated like the Four Freshmen and other vocal groups like that, frequently worked with Glenn Miller, In the Mood guy. From Boulder, Colorado, by the way, I will say. I mentioned that Glenn Miller is from up in these parts, or at least went to college here. But this version, yeah, if you've never heard the lyrics to Spanish Flea, you're in for a treat. It even mentions the Tijuana Brass. From their album, The Mods Salute Herb Alpert and the Tijuana Brass, here are the Modernaires and Spanish Flea.
All right. I love this. Also, I'm shocked that The Simpsons had anything to do with it being realistic lyrics. That shocks me.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. I would have thought that was all bullcrap. Anyway, here it is. We'll see you guys on Monday.
There was a little Spanish Flea, a record star, he thought he'd be. He heard of singers like Beatles that chipmunks he'd seen on TV. Why not a little Spanish Flea? And so he hid inside a doggy from Madrid, arriving here in the city, still singing this sweet harmony, as brave as anything could be. Walked around as if he hometown, how proud they'd be. And all at once he found a pass to see the Tijuana grass. They listened first to his song, then they all played along, for you see, they love the little Spanish fleet. Top of a shiny horn. Then at a glance he knew this was a chance in store. And once a great big Spanish star was born. And when the brass beat began to play, the Spanish fleet he sang. He was the pride of the nation, a singing sensation was he. Though he was just a Spanish fleet. And when the people heard him play, they all began to shout away. He was the pride of the nation, a singing sensation was he. Though he was just a Spanish fleet.
Sorry about that, Chief.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Lowry, I am dying of thirstaroni.